time for The Daily Review, a podcast dedicated to reviews and discussion of TV, movies, and books. Look for us at Daily Review on Facebook and Twitter and dailyreview.com on the web. That's DaleyReview.com.
This is Paul Daly here with my wife, Caroline.
Hey, guys.
And today we're here to discuss the 7th episode of The Mist. This one could be called Over the River and Through the Woods, but on the app, when I went to select it, I swear it was called False Sanctuary.
False Sanctuary makes so much more sense than Over the River and Through the Woods, but IMDb is calling it that. Very confusing. I'm not sure, but I'm going with False Sanctuary.
Makes so much more sense.
So much more sense, because every single place seemed like it was going through a False Sanctuary time. So for sure, I feel like that was more appropriate. So in case anyone doesn't know what sanctuary means, Paul, what are we talking about?
Sanctuary is a safe place away from whatever dangers are around you.
So everybody who thinks they're being safe right now, whether it's at the mall or the psych ward at the hospital or the church or wherever you guys are, it is not actually safe.
Which sanctuary would you want to start with this week?
We're going to start with the mall this week. Last week, you guys remember, Eve had thought of the idea of putting out the flyer saying that help was coming. Now, this seemed like a good idea in terms of keeping everyone's hopes up, but we foresaw that there might be a double-edged sword situation, because when people think help are coming, they kind of get out of that survival mode and start getting a little bit more loose with what they're doing.
Was it the security guard that was guilty of hoarding food? Which is funny, because Gus has to come out of his office after he's just been sneaking chocolates.
Right, he's eating in his office.
Right, and he's like, for shame out here with the food hoarding.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, right? Who wouldn't think it's completely okay to have a couple more bites of whatever you guys are eating, granola bars and what have you? Why wouldn't you think it would be safe?
Gus knows better. He was in the mimeograph room.
Yeah, he does. So that's a little bit more like, Gus, like, you should have been taking small nips off that chocolate. What do you think precipitated Eve deciding to come on over to the Mall Rats group and drop that baby monitor, which I am going to chalk up into the smart category, at least at first, though I think double-edged sword.
Eve is programmed to believe everyone is out to get me. She's constantly thinking, how can I not be gotten? And one way would be information. And since it's always suspicious when one of her camp shows up in the other camp, then there's no real good way to spy. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Then that might make her want to still gather information, but not be seen about it.
That makes sense. So do you think she's trying to figure out if Lila's mom is over there talking shit about them? Or I was even thinking, like, maybe it was because Jay had come over to them and said, this other group's going crazy. They're all losing their minds.
Well, we know about that.
Is she trying to see if Jay is actually telling the truth? Is this more about checking up on Jay's word?
It is following up on Jay, I think, more so than Lila's mom, because until Lila's mom gets into it much later this episode, I don't think that Eve actually knows that Lila's mom is a danger to her.
Well, she did leave the group and she did scream, Alex Copeland's a liar.
Yeah, but I don't know if she heard all that. I know that she left. I mean, she must know that she left. But I don't know if she heard all of the pissing and whining.
Oh, I thought everybody heard the liar part, but you could be totally right on that. So I wonder now, what is Eve trying to pick up from the other group, and why her focus turned 100% to the other group versus the Mist and dealing with the Mist? Like, now you're having to deal with the other. It's just so Lord of the Flies at the mall, right?
Yeah.
Like, having to deal with the other camp rather than dealing with your actual survival issues. Very, very much the same. This whole food thing is obviously going to be the motivator for some gigantic conflict here.
We were thinking about it, trying to categorize and itemize all the different kinds of foods you might find in a mall on a given day. And although there would be a lot of it, there would be very little of it that you could actually take and eat and sustain yourself with.
Yeah, because I would think that the majority of the food court would be food that required cooking.
Cooking and refrigerating.
Right. Deep fryers, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think you'd be in trouble pretty fast. I mean, some of that stuff would be potato, french fries, stuff like that. That would have been defrosted now. You could kind of nibble on those. And I think they have water, or do we not know?
It hasn't been brought up. So water could just work more automatically.
The only time I can remember seeing water is when Jay went in the bathroom to like wash his face off and the bodies were hanging in there.
I don't think they're in trouble for water.
Well, then it's kind of crazy to be like, we're all going to die. Because, I mean, you can kind of stretch it out, right? You know, you guys, they could stretch it out longer. Now, I would like to point out that I thought it was 9 days is when like civilization cracks. But they say in this episode that it's 9 meals before people lose it. So you think that's true? That's basically 3 days without food?
Yeah, that feels right. I mean, if you think about what it would be to be truly without any kind of controls in place and no power and nobody coming to say this is the right way to act, yeah, people would start to fray at the edges and things would start to take place and no one would be there to stop it. There's just too many variables in the way people act.
That makes total sense to me. I think that the food is such a huge issue, but I think for Eve, the thing that is going to break her much faster here, because she does seem like the kind of chick who totally does like fasting days and stuff, doesn't she? She's so, so slender. Like
Eve?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure she's like gets...
She seems real hardcore.
What's the thing where they clean out your colon? I'm sure she gets that like twice a month. Yes, I'm sure she's like a colonic of the week kind of punch card.
She seems really, really, really slender in the way that like it would not surprise me if she was someone who does fast days or juice cleanses and stuff like that. And so for me, I feel like the food isn't even on the top of her list right now. A little weird because she does have a kid. And so you think that, you know, your mama bear instinct would be to completely be concerned about food. But she actually is still in a place where she can spend some time worrying about this relationship she has with Alex. This seemed like a real twist of the knife here with the whole Alex and Jay situation. They are suddenly a viable couple. I mean, Alex is all like, you know, you don't know him like I know him kind of talk. That's like, ooh, what the frick is happening here? I don't know if it's just a big McDreamy kind of situation where you're just like, oh, I'm in love with you. But 2 seconds ago, you were very certain you were raped by him.
It does seem fast to switch over from rape suspicion to let's get a place together.
Not even just rape suspicion, being certain it was him. I could go with this if she was starting to lean into the idea that like maybe it was someone else. Maybe Jay really did cover me up in that bedroom and walk away and he was the good guy and maybe it was someone else. I kind of want Alex to voice that as being her motivator, not he raped me, let's all get over it and I'm still going to have him be my boyfriend because he's like the quarterback on the football team. That feels like I can't deal with that. Like, bah, you know?
Yeah.
It scares me because I foresee that Hiker's World pillaging is going to have yielded enough supplies that Alex and Jay are going to take off into the wilderness here.
Well, if Eve keeps tightening up like that, she's going to drive them away, even though the mist is what the mist is.
You can totally see this. This happens all the time where you see like families who like, you know, have absolutely common sense, normal, typical family kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden there's like, wait a minute, your boyfriend lives at your house? Wait a minute, your boyfriend sleeps in your room? And you start hearing shit like, well, if they're going to drink, I'd rather them drink at home. And if I know they're having sex, so at least they're safe and they're here. So I bought them condoms. Like that kind of business where you're like, what? How do parents ever get clicked to that place? Our kids are too young and not at that point yet where we've been challenged by that. So I feel like it's like, what? But then you see this and you're like, oh, I see. I mean, Eve doesn't want Jay to be anywhere near, but it's more worth it to her to have him stay in their little camp under their other adult eyes and at least
sneaking out or
that seems like a very realistic alternative here. So it frightens me of what the future holds, Paul.
So the very final scene did show that Lila's mom raised the issue that Alex is immune to the mist.
Yeah, that came up again. It's strange how people take that fact. How in the previous episode, Alex was like, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't the mist want to kill me? And she acted like kind of weird and whiny about it. I felt like Lila is like holding it against her. Like, look, she's no good. If she was good enough, the mist would eat her guts. But because she's not, you know, that's why. Because she's a liar, everybody. It like doesn't make sense to me what conclusions they're all reaching about why someone wouldn't be eaten up by the mist.
I'm glad she got shouted down, but I'm starting to think that Gus's influence over his camp is waning.
Do you think managing people by yelling "shut your mouth" is not going to go well for very long?
Not in an anarchy, no.
I don't see that it's going to go well just to yell "shut your mouth." I actually wrote that in capital letters on my notes, like "shut your mouth." What? I don't know, Gus. I feel like you're definitely losing your grip here on the situation. Maybe he was having a sugar low then.
Chocolate only keeps you sustained for so long.
This is true. Maybe
he crashes.
He's going to lose it. Speaking of people losing it, holy smokes, what is going on over at the psych ward, Daly?
I suspected that this week would be full of just filler at the psych ward. But instead, we did get a little bit of story progress, both with the Kevin story and the Mia story, and a little bit of Brian's story in there too.
And I would say that Adrian's strife about this potential relationship with Tyler also came to some sort of conclusion. We kind of progressed with that.
Oh, definitely. I believe it is definitely concluded.
Okay, so let's start off with when they were let into the psych ward, that guy that let him in, do you believe that that man was a patient or a staff member?
Patient wearing scrubs.
I completely think he's a patient wearing scrubs. As soon as he let them in, there was something about his demeanor where I turned to you and was like, oh no, he's got a screw loose. Like, he is definitely not one of the guys you want in charge in this situation. He seems like the inmates are running the asylum.
Right.
It's sort of like it had that vibe to it real quick. That entire situation with Adrian and Kevin, wow. Okay, so this was the prediction that we had made, that Kevin was going to be faced with a moment where he was going to basically step in front of a bullet for Adrian, which was going to make the fact that Adrian was the rapist later down the line that much more horrific, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here was the whole thing. Our inmate here, we should give him a name. I don't know what.
Nash.
We don't even have to give him a name. His mom did. That worked out well.
Mrs. Nash did.
Mrs. Nash. Mama Nash. So Nash, turns out, he feels he can see evil in people, Paul.
And he's identified a black aura around one Adrian.
Well, maybe it's from the black aura around his eye holes.
Right.
It sort of sent off a bad juju vibe to him. He has them all tied up and he's going to, I guess, beat his ass.
With a chair leg or a table leg. I couldn't tell which.
It looked very baseball batty, very Negan vibe.
But it had a big nail on the
end. Oh, shit. Shut up. I didn't see that. But doesn't Lucille?
Lucille's covered in barbed wire.
Ew, other sharp things.
Yes.
I just remembered sharp metal. You're right. Okay, so here we have Adrian tied up in this room with Nash. And did you expect that Kevin would opt to switch places?
I would have expected some amount of subterfuge, not I just have to go in there and win a fight kind of solution. You know, here I am, a children's author, and this guy is a full-on crazy with a table leg, so let's get it on. That equation doesn't work for me. The way that Tyler tore after the guy, did you think that Tyler would be the one to want to mix it up?
No, I felt pretty strongly that this was a moment when Kevin was going to have to kind of step in front of the bullet. I just didn't expect it to go like hand-to-hand combat, like step into the ring and Adrian steps out of the ring and now you're going to fight like in place of him. Like that was very specific, you know, where he actually replaced himself into Adrian's shoes there, you know?
Sort of a trial by combat, if you would.
I would say there are a number of trials in this episode, and this is definitely a trial by combat, I would say. And Kevin definitely has that entire battle. He's a different Kevin, right? I mean, he's not the same Kevin who was like too scared to pull the trigger back at the gas station. I mean, this is a different guy.
Yeah, he had to go to a very dark place to convince Nash that the evil was inside him too, and that he deserved to be swapped out for Adrian. That his evil was more great, I guess. You know, the more pressing need.
Right, right. We need to get to killing him first.
Right.
So did you expect him to just harm Nash or beat him to a death?
I did not expect him to kill Nash. I thought he'd beat him to a knockout or something, but finishing him off with the table leg was...
That was pretty gruesome, right?
It was more than I expected, yeah.
It was. So what do we think? Are we cheering at this change in Kevin? Because we were real anti the passive, I don't do anything, Kevin. And so now at this point, are we like, yay, he can kill someone with a nail and a table leg? Or are we like, whoa, you might have gone too far. I'm not sure.
That might be the indicator that he's gone too far. I mean, this guy was a mental patient. You know, even state lethal injection doesn't kill people that are insane. It's kind of frowned upon.
And it's like, we're in an insane asylum psych ward. I mean, we know the man has mental problems. And so while it's like, of course, completely right to save Adrian, is it right to kill him? I don't know. Or do we just say you must be off your meds? Let's get him like tied up in some way. And then, hey, Mia knows where the med closet is. So we can maybe go find his chart and figure out what his meds are supposed to be and make sure he's getting his daily meds, because I don't know, does he deserve to die because of kind of obviously having a mental issue?
I don't know. I can see it totally different ways. Like, I have to admit that if you and I are ever in a horror movie scenario like The Mist or some other kind of thing like that, I'm afraid we're killing everyone that poses a threat. There's no guarantee that Nash isn't going to just get back up and start chasing us again.
It's so true. And that part is super rough. And I do wonder, like, you know, there's different apocalyptic type scenarios where, like, if you know everyone's turning into zombies, then like that's one thing. Again, though, I mean, this is The Mist that just rolled in. So like, we don't know how temporary this is, right?
Right.
So like at any point in time, The Mist rolls out and you have to like look around and be like, what did I do? It would be kind of crazy and awesome if at the end they roll The Mist out and then they put at the bottom, like, this took over the course of 6 days. Right. And we'd all be like, oh my God. Like, we watched Kevin go from like, I didn't want to hurt a fly to, you know, completely killing people. Like, oh shit. Is that all how close we are basically from losing it completely?
The first episode, wasn't he like trying to save the caterpillar off her leg or something like that from being squished?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. He was, you know, he was the children's author for sure. 100%. So, and this is a very different person. Like I said, like, I don't know if I could kill someone. I mean, I always think like, you know, if somebody attacked me, could I kill them? Really kill them? Not just like beat them up till I could get away, but make sure they're dead. I mean, what do you think? Could you?
If we're in a horror movie situation, sure.
No, I mean, like in real life, if you are beat, if someone attacked you and you got them off you and they were like passed out on the ground, would you stop to make sure you actually killed them? Or would you just be like, so long as they were incapacitated, you're getting out of there?
I guess it depends on how dangerous I thought they were future wise. Continuing threat, I'm afraid they're gone. Be prepared for that. If that ever comes up in our lives, Caroline.
Well, how will I know? What's going to be the notice here?
The notice will just be probably a continuation of the beating, the shooting, the stabbing, whatever. I'm not exactly sure what to expect if the scenario ever comes up. It won't be put up to a vote.
Good to know. Because I honestly, I mean, I always think about that. Like, if someone was attacking me, how far would I be able to take it? You know, if I was pushed the other way. The main line of the entire Nash incident for me is when he says, it's in you. It's really in you. Okay, so now we know, like, Kevin is absolutely capable of anything. Now we know. I mean, they've straight up said it. So meanwhile, we have this entire other situation going on with Mia and Brian. I did not expect that Mia would think this was like imperative that we do this rapid detox right now. I was kind of surprised that she felt like this was a safe enough time. I don't know that much about rapid detox. Do you know anything about this stuff?
No, it seems like TV magic to be able to take her painkiller addiction or opiate addiction or whatever it is and take some drugs and just kind of wash it out overnight. that doesn't quite seem real to me. We've heard of people going through withdrawal symptoms and it takes days. And I don't even know if there is such a thing as a rapid detox.
Well, I guess there is. And the principle of it is that they use heavy sedation along with dosing of medications to do this. They say it's extremely expensive, that it's ineffective, and it's extremely dangerous. So I was hoping that maybe this would be the end of all of her issues because, you know, they felt the need to do this for us. But at the same time, it seemed like, I don't know, it didn't seem like enough. It seemed so strange. I don't know if your body could physically go through that. I know that people have to be really monitored because I guess you can go into some sort of shock or whatever. Like, I mean, your body is dependent on it. Yeah, seizures, things like that. So I don't know if this is really realistic. Although I understand that the scenario, on one hand, maybe laid to rest Mia's entire personality situation of needing to be this druggy, looking for drugs all the time. And if that could just be like put to rest, then that would be one thing that'd be over. And on the other hand, obviously it brought to light Brian's memory because it triggered when she was screaming so much.
It seems more like that was the reason they needed to go through this whole scenario. More so than the putting her drug thing to rest.
I don't know, because it was such a motivator. You know, I mean, she felt like she needed to go steal the drugs and that got her in trouble with the church people. And that, you know, I mean, there were so many moments where she was like stealing and doing stuff. And I don't know, it was really guiding her every need.
Yeah,
you know,
but he's tied to Arrowhead and some other.
Oh, yeah, I'm for
stuff.
It. What do you think was actually happening to Brian in that memory, in that flashback he was having?
That scene reminded me of the Captain America movie when they are brainwashing the Winter Soldier. They are running electricity through his body and they are listing off Russian words, and no, I guess they're English words, so that in his case, if those words are repeated in that order, they basically activate whatever program he has to go and do some dastardly thing. So they're like used to program in the behavior, and then when said, they activate the behavior. I mean, the whole thing really reminded me of that scene exactly.
What do you think that they were trying to train him to do? Was he also supposed to be like a super soldier?
That seems far-fetched in this, but you know, everything's on the table. I mean, because Arrowhead...
What is Arrowhead? We don't know.
...is an undefined military entity. It doesn't even say if it's really the army or just, you know, like a Department of Defense kind of secret thing, you know, where just anything could be going on.
Well, I'm super glad that he finally realizes that he is Jonah and that this really did happen and why it happened. And he remembered seemingly enough about himself and that he had the strength to get through whatever was going to happen. Like he was telling Mia, you know, you're able to get through this pain and I can guide you through it. And, you know, that seemed like that's going to come up again and again, where somehow he's going to have to use these strategies to try to go ahead and be more the leader. Because I could see that, like, Kevin has found his own, I guess we'll call them strengths, I don't know. But then now we find out, well, like, Brian has some actual skills that he's going to be able to bring to the table, which I guess we officially have to start calling him Jonah now?
I think we should start calling him Jonah. And the word, I think, for Kevin is resolve. He's found more resolve to do what he thinks needs to be done, which may play out okay. There's only 3 episodes left now, right? So what you're thinking of Jay and Alex flying the coop, that could mean a lot of things. Like maybe Kevin gets to the mall and then Eve is like, where's the kids? And he's like, I don't know where the kids are. And so they go and try to find Alex, probably less attached to finding Jay.
Right.
Or maybe he runs into her on the outside and is like, what's going on? They go back to the mall or something. I don't know. But he's very decisive now is the point.
Okay.
He's
okay.
A new guy.
Okay. I like that very much. The last situation that we reached some conclusion with at the hospital was everything between Adrian and Tyler. Now, I mean, this is kind of like the Eve situation with Alex, where there's a lot of relationship discussion happening that I don't know if it's completely realistic at this point in time to have this level of, I don't know what the word is, like something you need to deal with, because it still seems like you should be in survival mode, which means like the hierarchy of needs are not like, do I have a boyfriend and stuff like that, you know?
Right.
And so then it's hard to be like, I don't know. I mean, I understand maybe when you're talking about resolve, maybe this is where that comes in with Adrian, because, you know, he's like, I'm not going to hide who I am anymore. I'm going to hold, you know, guy's hand and I'm not going to care what anybody thinks and that type of thing. So maybe that whole thing is a resolve for that entire group. Maybe that's what they all found.
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, good conclusion. Although it amounted to a change for him personally, but not like he has nothing to show for it tangibly now.
Tyler was not going for it. But I mean, again, that goes to what you and I talked about you cannot push people to be who they're not ready to be. So Tyler told that terrible story of like the worst thing that he had ever done. And as soon as he started telling the story and I looked at you and I was like, oh no, the victim's going to be Adrian. And you know, it turned out that it was, and it was like, oh my God, like Tyler's like, he has to come very far in this struggle of his. And I mean, it seems like he's in a more neutral place, but it certainly doesn't seem like he's in a good place.
No.
I can't imagine that amount of aggression and everything. It is what people say about you are fighting against your own internal strife here, and it's you're acting out on other people.
He may never get there. I mean, the way that he's, by there, I mean, happy to be who he is, you know?
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Assuming he lives.
Assuming he lives is right, because what do you think about the fact that they are going to leave him there? I know he asks to be left there, but is this okay? Should that have been handled that way? Would you have handled it like that?
Yeah, I would. Kevin is resolved now to get out of this shithole and get to the mall. This was just a diversion anyway for him. And now he's more set. Like, there's nothing here. Things are just getting worse here. It's time to go. You coming or you're not. You know, that kid is too big to force to do anything.
I think it's not unlike Mia's drug problem. Maybe Adrian's whole strife that's going on with Tyler. Maybe this is done for this series. Maybe this season. Don't know how long this is going to go. But it seems like, okay, now that we're even leaving him behind, there's not even going to be any distraction for Adrian. Like, we're going to need to really focus up on whatever the next stepping stone's going to be if we're going to leave the hospital.
It would be interesting to see if Tyler shows up in the mist at some point and is
like a
distraction for Adrian.
I like that. That makes good sense. I could see that happening.
I would have all kinds of questions like, is he dead or is it just the mist fucking with you or what?
Yeah, because you could totally call him and be like, I totally am ready to hold hands now, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, Paul. I like that prediction very well.
We've been pretty spot on so far, so look for it, people.
I like to think we are doing pretty well. Okay, so we were talking about what's the next stepping stone. Okay, so they left the church and they headed to the hospital.
Yes.
And so in theory, we might be headed to the mall next, but we're actually going to take a step backwards and head back to the church and think about what in the world is going on there. Where does our false sanctuary come in and what ordeals are our folks handling there?
First ordeal is something's not sitting right with Connor. I have to tell you that as a bearded man myself, that if I absorbed a beating to the face like Father Romanov received from Connor, I would wipe the blood out of my white beard. I couldn't have that weird blood muzzle that he has for the rest of his life.
That would make you crazy. I'd be like, I am
not put together enough to be out in front of people. I need to wash this out.
I think there was a little theme of abuse that was going on there. Natalie speaks that she's like a child of abuse and she has this song that her mom used to sing to her to cope, and having her actually sit there and sing it while the chief is beating up on the priest.
It's kind of a contrast, right?
It is pretty gruesome. It really was pretty gruesome, right? Speaking of gruesome, we learn the fate of Link.
He was something between cooked and turned inside out, or maybe both.
It seems like turned inside out seems right. I mean, doesn't that seem very biblical?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't there something like that, like getting turned inside out? It seems very right to me.
I'm not the theologian I used to be in terms of biblical punishments, but yes, I would go along with the idea that it's a punishment that seems suited to his crimes.
What did you think about this whole idea that they are going to have a trial by ordeal and that this is called upon by Romanov
Well, it sounds super dramatic as a way to pit nature versus faith. It doesn't ring particularly true to me. I mean, it does. If it did, it would sound like the sort of thing that a preacher during the Salem witch trials would have suggested, or something like that, or maybe even further back.
You've seen Trial by Combat, though.
Oh, I prefer Trial by Combat. I mean, I have a shirt that says, "I demand Trial by Combat." So I'm familiar with the idea. I just know that it's bullshit. Nothing gets proven exactly. It's just if those are the customs of the land, then it's a way to get out of something.
I think it's especially telling for me that the trials by ordeal, which actually did exist, you guys, pre-modern day, were outlawed by the Pope. Like, priests were not supposed to participate in them as of like the 1200s. So I find it like shocking that the priest, who should be following the Pope's
Assuming he's a Catholic priest. He could be.
He looks like, come on, he put on the robe and everything.
Well, Episcopals look pretty much the same, don't they?
Okay, but I'm still saying, I think it would not be unusual for there to sort of everyone follow suit within the preacher-priest world, right?
I think they're all variations on a theme. So yeah, were you sure who the winner was going
to
be?
Well, first of all, we got to talk about this before we even get to that. Natalie coming out completely nude. Was that a surprise?
100% a surprise. I mean, it suits her in this kind of, I've nothing to hide kind of way.
And do you think it's like an intimidation game too? I mean, isn't that sometimes when you have a situation like this, it's almost like taking off your earrings and stuff to like get ready for like a rumble. It's like, I don't know, there's something to it.
It was an interesting way to contrast with the priest who decided to put on every kind of priestly garment he could find.
He just put them all on.
It was like, remember that episode of Friends when Joey puts on everything of Chandler's?
Yes, it looked exactly like that.
And so for her to be naked was like, I don't need any of that shit in order to prove my point.
Well, and also by contrast, the priest is like out there bellowing out, you know, yelling out to everything. And she is closing her eyes and being completely quiet. Honestly, she did the exact right thing. Like, I definitely would have been quiet. I feel like if you're dealing with anything in nature, the last thing you want to do is be like drawing all this attention to yourself.
Yeah, she kind of reminded me of The Force is With Me, I'm One with the Force guy from Rogue One.
Mary, I like it.
At peace and centered on her mission.
And I think just basically like the idea of like closing her eyes and everything, didn't that very much feel like, you know, here I am, take me if you're going to take me kind of thing?
It actually more reminded me of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, what about that?
There's a real reason why Indy closes his eyes at the very end of the movie, but I can't remember what it was. All I know is that not seeing the bad shit and telling Marion to keep her eyes shut kept them alive. There's a good reason, but it's not explained in the movie. And so I don't remember it, but keeping his eyes shut saved them. And it kind of reminded me of that just a little bit. I mean, I know that that was biblical stuff that they were dealing with, and she was kind of anti that, and it doesn't really quite work on that level, but it still felt the same.
I just feel like if you're out there and there's like a bear in the woods or something, like everyone's like, be quiet. You don't be like, I summon the bear warrior. I mean, you just shut up, you know? What are you yakking about? So we most definitely had the four horsemen of the apocalypse ride on in there, right?
We did. If you aren't familiar with who they are described in the New Testament of the Bible in the book of Revelations. And the idea is that if they show up, everything's over. They all have names: pestilence, war, famine, and death. It looks like war was the one that sent the arrow through Father Romanov.
I think so, yeah.
None of them are actually listed specifically as archers, I don't think, but I don't think it matters which one it was. Because they all look, you know, they kind of look like the Dark Riders from The Lord of the Rings, just meant to look very, you don't want to fuck with them kind of guys. And
like White Walkers.
Yeah, same idea. And so he loses in like the most ironic way possible.
Were you surprised how decisive that whole thing was? I mean, it's not like they even glanced at Natalie as like a, do I choose her or do I choose him? I mean, they like rode on up or like him, shot him with the arrow, yanked him on along with him, and that was it. And he wasn't going to die quickly.
No.
He was going to die a horrible drug behind the horses kind of death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, awful.
That shot was just probably going to like deflate his lung, and then eventually his lung would fill up.
I think it was just enough to like anchor him. I think it wasn't about hurting him. I think it was just about securing, like anchoring it into him to drag him. I don't think the arrow was supposed to kill him at all. I think it's, you're going to hang on there for miles and miles and miles.
You don't want to mess with the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
No.
Nothing about that sounds like a good idea, does
it? No. It sounds terrible. Terrible, terrible. So what do we think is going to happen now? Now, Natalie has proven that she is more likely to be in the right. So A, we've got a situation where she's going to go back into the church. And now what? What are these church people wanting to do with Natalie?
And give her clothes.
Yeah, right. First, give her a blanket. But like, what are we going to do now? Now that we know it's nature, now what do we do? Do we have any guesses?
Her theory extends to the idea that she and those around her are part of the problem that the mist is there to erase. So she hasn't really expanded on the idea of, well, if you don't want to be erased, how do you make it through one of these things? She's just very sure that the mist is there to do a lot of erasing. I'm also very curious to see what her manifesto has in store for surviving.
Well, and what she guesses to be the scourge. What do you think is the poison, or what is going on around that? What can they even influence, you know, at this point?
Aside from staying indoors. That seems to be the one thing the mist is impervious to, is walls and doors and ceilings.
Right. But generally speaking, on a bigger level, like, what is the poison? What is the bad that they could try to rid of the area to try to send the mist on its way? You know, what
besides
is it?
Besides your giant fans?
I think the giant fans would work. I'm serious about that. So, all right, who do we have left here in our mix? We think that basically Eve is going to end up losing Alex to a Jay situation running out there. Kevin, Mia, Brian, and Adrian are finally rid of all the mess going on at the hospital. And in fact, we're not even going to call him Brian anymore. We're going to call him Jonah. So we're moving forward there. And we have Natalie and just the chief, right? At the church that we're mainly going to pay attention to.
I think the remainder of the church attendees are red shirts at this point.
I think so too. So I can't wait for next week. I'm really not sure exactly where we're going to go next. I don't see that Natalie would ever call them all to go to the mall. So I don't really know why there would be a giant mall meetup. Where do you think that that group is going to head next?
It would not make any sense at all for Kevin's group to wind up back at the church.
No, I can't. No way.
So if...
maybe the church people have to go to the mall then. Maybe they come up with some idea that there might be food there. Or maybe people are going to have to move on to this whole grocery store being the ending.
Or perhaps...
or like a Sam's Club.
Someone gets sick and we know that there's a pharmacy at the mall. So that makes sense of needing to go to the malls all of a sudden because Natalie needs her diabetes medicine or something and...
maybe. I got to think we're going to get to food. And I got to think the mall people are going to leave there too. I mean, like, all the places have been used up. The hospital's been used up. The church is no longer really a safe haven. And the mall's running out of food. Like, I think we've all got to move to another location. I'm going to go with a grocery store because I know that that's where the original The Mist movie, Hal, happened in the grocery store. The story did. So yeah. I'm going with we're going to end in the grocery store.
I like that.
That's what I'm thinking. See you guys next week.
This podcast was brought to you in partnership with 3ifbyspace.net and the wonderful reviews brought to you by Michelle Harvey. Check them out on 3ifbyspace.net. That's threeifbyspace.net. Thank you. Catch us on iTunes or your preferred podcast software. Our website, dailyreview.com. That's dailyreview.com. Facebook or Twitter. Or wherever you find us, please leave us a comment and a rating to let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for listening, pod people. Thanks for listening to my mom and dad.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Just go home, folks.